alive and powerful, sharpening his two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that is not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This morning, to the doctrine of Sarah's daughters, we're both picked up down page 3 of our notes. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're either in fellowship or out of fellowship. That's obviously dependent upon the fact whether we've engaged in personal sin and whether or not we have rebounded that sin. And obviously, part of the living the Christian life is to overrule the STA to the degree possible. When we sin, we have a grace mechanism for recovery, which is 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique, of which we can overrule the sin nature, put it in his case, so to speak, to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. Being filled with God the Holy Spirit is how we redeem the time in our phase 2 and maximize, obviously, in regards to fulfilling God's will for our life. And it is imperative for each and every one of us to make sure we're in fellowship as we once again approach the truth of Bible doctrine, superintended by God the Holy Spirit himself in his authorship. And therefore, we give everybody the opportunity to rebound if necessary, as we will do when we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word will stand forever. We ask that you bless us once again this morning in the desire to understanding the truth of your word, and that God the Holy Spirit will indeed light us to truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The doctrine of Sarah's daughters is a doctrine that recognizes certain positive wives, believing wives, Christian wives, who are willing to acclimate and submit to their husband's authority according to God's directed will for their lives, emulating the very pattern established for wives through the person of Sarah, Abraham's wife. The principle of submission, of obedience to the husband, is twofold in regards to the woman's acclimation in this respect. First and foremost, it demands, obviously, overt obedience, compliance in regards to the orders, directives in regards to the husband's desires and wishes. And further, it demands that the wife has the proper mental attitude. They must go together in order to be adjusted, if you will, with respect to pursuing and being a Sarah's daughter in this regards. It cannot come through simple lip service or resignation in regards to one's life. It truly must come from the doctrine of the individual soul and human spirit in this respect. And it is these things that obviously provide the decorum of what it means of proper submission in regards to the wife, which revolves around the principle of having a gentle and quiet spirit. That is a reflection in regards to the human spirit, the manifestation of the doctrine that is in the adjusted, polybelieving wife's soul, human spirit, manifestation of it in this respect. And obviously, to be quiet is simply self-explanatory. This decorum is carried in regards to the woman of this ilk, at this level of application, whether it is simply in regards to being with her husband in orientation to his authority or otherwise in regards to their general public appearance otherwise, and as it might be manifest in regards to their position in regards to the local church and God's design, authoritative creation, chain of command order in this respect. And obviously, being gentle recognizes that the wife is simply, in regards to keeping her tongue bridled, is not horsey, abusive, abrasive in regards to interacting in regards to their husband and others also in this respect. And obviously, all of these things put together in regards to desire of divine good production. One must have a good level of divine good production, hence the manifestation of the human spirit, the inner hidden beauty of the inner man in this regards, the adjusted believing wife in maturity, matriculation in regards to her lives, become in line in regards to what it means to be a Sarah's daughter. And obviously, the enemy in regards to being a Sarah's daughter comes from the STA trend for makeup of women or females. And that's Roman numeral 6, page 3 of our notes. The female STA trend is the enemy of becoming one of Sarah's daughters. A, Eve's insubordination to the two authorities in the garden establishes the pattern for women. Genesis 3, 1 following. There are simply two human beings on this planet at this point in time, at the beginning of creation, or restoration. That was a man and a woman, Adam and Eve. The only other personalities present was God, who in theophany walked with them in Bible class in the cool evening in the garden, gave them Bible doctrine. And the other is obviously the presence of our archenemy, Satan, who was allowed to roam free. And here, as we know, in regards to the garden, manifesting himself, possessing a serpent, and communicated in this fashion with respect to the wife. And Eve, at this point in time, had two authorities, her husband, Adam, and God. And here, with respect to the fall, the actions that led up to the fall, recorded for us here in chapter 3. Now the serpent, verse 1, was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Now isn't that Satan bringing up doctrine? Satan is called the angel of light. He knows how to take doctrines, and I guarantee he knows how to manipulate it. And he approaches Eve in regards to the doctrines she's been taught by God himself. And obviously, at this point in time, she is going to take matters into her own hands, and she's going to deal with the serpent. Unfortunately, she is being deceived by the serpent. She, in regards to her female personality, is open to gullibility in this respect. She is very gullible. And the woman says to the serpent, and obviously she tends to cater to the serpent, denoting a trend obviously already developing within her own person. And before the actual fall, and the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. As he asked her a straight up question. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you should not eat from it or touch it unless you die. The ploy in regards to Satan's question is to test Eve in regards to embracing the doctrine of her authorities in life, coming ultimately, obviously, from God in regards to God's commandments and instructions. And we have recorded here in verse 3 the first incident of legalism that's employed in regards to a human being's thinking. And that is in Eve's response, that not only did they not eat from it, she says, or touch it. And that was not part of the commandment. They could touch the fruit. They could play baseball with it if they wanted to. The commandment was strictly that you will not eat of this fruit. So we have this sense, if you will, of legalism, whether it is coming from recognition of dealing with an outside authority, apart from the designated authority that God established. And I have to ask when you get there in this respect. But by all appearances, obviously, is trying to defend herself, if you will, in regards to being put on the spot in regards to these questions, this question. And but either way, it's wrong. And she does not stick with the truth, if you will, completely and totally. And the serpent says to the woman, and the serpent basically, he's throwing out the hook, he's got it. And he recognizes, you know, that her distortion of thinking in this regard is an open door. Now, this may be a good case in point of why it's so important to embrace the truth and not reject it. as Satan, through people's speech, can obviously hear and know what we think. And if there's a weakness there, it gives an avenue in regards to putting things together, a strategy, scheme, to try to cause a believer to stumble otherwise. And the serpent said to the woman, verse 4, you surely will not die. And now he just takes open issue with it. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And God is just kind of protecting you, if you will, in a certain way. But furthermore, it's condescending in the fact that God doesn't think he can handle life, in recognizing the difference between good and evil and disrespect. And verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So we see in regards to it being in the garden, that first and foremost, Eve gave ear to a communicator that was not designed authority placed in front of her, either her husband or God himself. And hence, she was insubordinate in this respect. So one, she rejected Adam's authority by discussing doctrine with the serpent. What did we read in the last Bible class in regards to the woman's responsibility? They got questions doctrinally. They desire instruction. Go talk to their husband. You don't go talk to other people's husbands. Things of this nature. And so first and foremost, she rejected Adam's authority. She sidestepped it by discussing doctrine with the serpent. And two, she rejected her right pastor's authority by adopting the false position of Satan. The actual doctrine she had in her soul, as we saw, she obviously distorted it to begin with, and then that opened a line for further distortion and outright disobedience to it in this respect. And all this, she was being deceived. She was gullible and an easy target, and that's obviously why Satan went that direction in the attack in the garden. And it's obviously a principle that we have brought out doctrinally over the years. And in this respect, if you will, women tend to have a general trend. Being of the female species and being of the descendants of Eve in this regard, being insubordinate, dealing with their STAs with respect to finding rejection of authority in their lives. And they tend to have, you know, this idea that they can deal with it on their own and take matters in their own hands. You know, obviously, you keep that in proper perspective, doctrinally speaking. Certain things that women, yes, can deal with, etc. But not apart from their position and plan and a place in the plan of God in orientation and acclimation to the authorities that God established. And they are not to go outside of that. So Eve reversed then, after the fall, under grace, her own sinful trend by acclimating to the right man's authority under the curse. And now Adam also has an STA along with her. But how she was able to reverse that trend is then by orientate to Bible doctrine and submission to her husband's authority, and by making a mature adjustment to the justice of God. The justice of God have been the same from the beginning of time. After the fall, Adam and Eve had to be saved. They had to believe in a coming Messiah, the doctrine that God gave them in this respect. They had to apply rebound, and they had to grow up spiritually in this respect. These things have not changed over time. And obviously, by then, under grace, obviously, setting her focus and desire, she's able to gain victory over her opponent, sitting dwelling STA, in this respect. So see, you as a believing lady, will either follow the example and trend of Eve in the garden, or you will be experiential sanctification, as Sarah as your example. Phase 2 sanctification, obviously. 1 Timothy 5:14-15, Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. And the desire of doctrine in regards to young women, that younger women, that may have lost their spouse, is to get remarried. It is the natural position, desire for a woman to be married and to place herself under authority in this respect. And that is Paul's wish and commands given to Timothy to instruct leading wives in regards to those under his authority. And again, understand that it's not anything derogatory in regards to the female sex. This is just the nature and the makeup with respect to women. So B, the female STA is antagonistic to the role imperatives of subordination to the two principal male authorities in her life, right man and right pastor. So one, either you will be drugged down by the quote Eve complex, you know better. Let's see. We can do it better. Husbands are too much procrastinators. Let's just jump in there and take care of it ourselves. You know, that kind of attitude. And again, we're not depreciating zeal for application of doctrine. That's not the point. The point is making sure that one is in line in regards to the proper decorum of authority within one's desires and what they do. Nobody that's adjusted to doctrine will look down upon a wife who, when asked to do something, says first, that's fine, but I first want to check with my husband. As, you know, as small as it may seem. If you're adjusted, if you're not, you know, and that's the deal. And then basically we're land blasted with the feminist movement in regards to our society and what women's responsibilities and obligations and authority can be. You can either pick the human viewpoint and go that direction, be like the rest of the world, or you can line up with Bible doctrine. But as we have brought out, this doctrine has always been there and always will be there. It's a doctrine that will not change, as the holy women of former times brings out. That's the way it's always been. Two, or you overrule the female STA and follow the decorum for ladies worthy of Sarah's company. So Roman numeral 7, even if you're a right man, your husband is reversionist, that is negative to the word of God, as an unbeliever or a believer, you can be a Sarah's daughter. That doesn't hinder you, close mind you, in regards to fulfilling this command if you're married. So A, as we have seen, obviously, and we'll see some more, A, the standing operating procedure for a woman married to a negative man includes one, you are to be submissive to his wishes, even if he is insensitive to the weaker vessel principle, which will be in our next verse as instructions to husbands. 1 Peter 3:1 tells us for wives to submit to the husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, and if there's body volition there, they have maximum opportunity to repent and become adjusted by the behavior of their wives, by their manner of life. And as we know, the overriding theme of 1 Peter is how to feel the undeserved suffering from authority. So two, you are not to try and win him to God's plan by the verbal approach to nagging the church. See. Again, you are to keep quiet in his presence about Bible doctrine if that is his wish. He should be one without a word. is by an application of Bible doctrine. Obviously, if you desire to ask questions, there's nothing wrong with that. And in passing of conversations, there would be nothing wrong. But in regards to if you don't want to talk about it, you know, that's when you got to keep your trap shut. See? And just bite your tongue, get in fellowship, recognize at this point in time it's just negative to the Word. And but that's not going to hamstring you in regards to fulfilling God's plan for your life. And again, you can be in the elite club of one called Sarah's Daughter. Or you can be the nagger and the complainer and the unquiet and ungentle spirit and be the beulah, as the opposite would reflect. So three, you are to witness to him through your life, avoiding STI activities which would cause him to stumble. Obviously, your fidelity is a given, as it would be in any marriage. Yeah, people can commit adultery. They can engage in the sin. They can rebound and get back in fellowship. I've seen people leave their spouses for other spouses over these kind of crazy notions. But it does not diminish the fact that this sin is a big sin. And obviously, sexual fidelity is a big part of trust in regards to relationship. And if that is remiss, trust will suffer in that respect. But also, in addition to sexual fidelity, other aspects of the STA, gossiping, lying, pulling wool over your husband's eyes and doing things behind his back, things of this nature. You know, fear, not able to face pressing situations. You've got the test in front of you, may impact the whole family. Who's the one that's going to face press? The one on doctrine or the negative spouse? Who's going to do better? See? You're in a position to provide the example and the witness of life in this respect. And of course, you would do apply doctrine. Obviously, you're not the man to be perfect. Apply doctrine, maintaining a level, trying to not to cause him to stumble unrighteously. And according to the respect his authority commands. And that's the safe and respectful behavior of verse 2, chapter 3. So 4, you are not to turn his head by overt attire, but through the inner beauty of resident Bible doctrine. That should be the main asset that you promote in tracking your husband, and that's to see if polyvolition really is in his soul. And the truth of doctrine and application of it will be that which stimulates polyvolition that is there. Now we saw that in John, we went through the Gospel of John. The net of being a fisher's of men is the truth of Bible doctrine. It's the truth. It's not the salesman's technique. Obviously, if we were to be good salesmen in regards to winning people over to Jesus, then why is this command given to these women not to talk? But let your manner of behavior be the primary witness. See, that is completely opposite in regards to the fundamentalist approach with respect to these things. So the inner beauty is that which one is to seek to adorn themselves. 5, you are to isolate fear when you are face to face with this moment of antagonism. Again, that's without being frightened by any fear of verse 6. Obviously, in any situation of being married to a man, you never know what could happen. And as we saw, even Sarah married Abraham and a couple of stunts he pulled in regards to her person, trying to pawn her off and put her in a compromising situation sexually and otherwise in regards to the kings. And obviously, she had to face resting situations. Well, same thing, you know, husbands can make stupid decisions in life. And sometimes you just have to faith rest. Put your foot down and say, this is the way it's going to be. Well, that's the way it's going to be. Just put it in God's hands. See? And a husband, obviously, will test your will in this respect. He can try various tactics to break your will. can be physical, mental harassment, goading, trying to make you feel guilty about things, try to get you to violate doctrine, certain doctrines that you're told to. Your NPR isn't that important. You can go to Bible class alone once a week, but a couple of times a week. Just 4 hours, I mean, that's way too much. You need to reconsider your relationship with me then. And obviously, they can even try to woo you. Kindness. Be really nice. And try to, you know, distract you in that respect. So, obviously, for all of us, at all times, we've got to keep our guards up spiritually in regards to relationships. People's got STAs. Not every husband is that way. Some husbands that are on doctrine are simply amenable in regards to letting their spouses do what they want to do in that respect and don't create any type of, you know, direct interference. And they can be blessed by association in that respect. So B, there comes a point at which you must draw the line then when it comes to being submissive. That's the other side of the coin. As we're told, wiser to submit in all things as is fitting in the Lord. That's the caveat. That's a further qualifier. So one principle among which is that he absolutely forbids most pressing responsibility. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves as the habit of some is, even more so as the day approaches. That principle wants to disrupt God's will for your life to make the maturity adjustment, which is 2 Peter 3:18, his desire for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's complete wrong. You can't do that apart from being in progress. Pay attention. So obviously, if one is going to attempt to put a stop to that, you have a higher authority you can appeal to. So two, if he orders you to become involved in STA activity, drunkenness, orgies, crime, etc. Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Obviously, these things are not fitting in the Lord. Three, regrets your wife. You know, physically abusive. Doesn't cater to the weaker vessel principle in that respect. Husbands like that are idiots. They're wimps. Got to beat up on a woman. What's your problem? Get into that STA. Your STA is so bad in that regard. Your hostility is so much. Go find you a strapping male that at least give you some competition. Go out and get drunk and start your fight there. You don't have to beat up on your wife. So why is she throwing pans at you? But that's why you learn to duck when you're young. Obviously, you can defend yourself. Wife tries to slap you, you can put a stop to that. Something of that nature. But anyway, now you hear it. You hear stories about that. So bread in your life, you don't have to put up with that. Constant belittling, you know. Obviously you have to pray about aspects such as that. Mental abusiveness, that kind of stuff. Just pray about it. God will work things out. For otherwise you are to obey him. Casting all your cares on the Lord, even if he is unjust. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your worries or anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Like Sarah did with Abraham on a couple occasions. So see, 1 Corinthians 7:10-16. Deals with your standing operating procedure if married to a neighbor's spouse. And essentially, peace can be maintained in the home sufficiently for the relationship to be maintained. Then you do what you can to keep your marriage intact. That's Paul's advice in 1 Corinthians 7. verses 10 through 16. But to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord. Obviously, now that it's recorded in Scripture, the Lord sponsors it and supports this. And this gives you an indication in regards to, just think about it off the top of my head here, in regards to the authors of Scripture authoring and penning these epistles, that their personality doesn't change. And their thinking is, you know, while it's being superintended by God the Holy Spirit, they're still thinking the doctrine as they would think. And at this point in time, Paul's just putting together in his mind and thinking that this is doctrinally substantiated, and hence he's going to include it in his epistle. And but he's letting us know that, you know, this is just what he's putting together with doctrine at this point in time, opinion. That obviously God was by whom. So here you are. And think about things like that, being a superintendent, you know, how supernatural it is, et cetera. It's very natural in a sense, but in the other sense, it is very supernatural. But anyway, not I, but the Lord. This is by God anyway. Sorry. But to the married, I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. Excuse me. I was dyslexic in my thinking. But if she does leave, let her remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband. If separation does occur, she should seek to maintain that single category. And otherwise, try to reconcile it for all possible. And that the husband should not send his wife away. But to rest, I'll say, not the Lord, that is, and this is the part. All right. Anyway. You can grace me out. But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, let him not send her away. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband who consents to live with her, let her not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. It's an ungodly person to provide doctrine in regards to their household. If the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. Brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know a wife whether you will save your husband? How do you know a husband whether you will deliver your wife? Roman numeral 8. This is a point for positive man marriage to one of Sarah's potential daughters, which we'll deal with in detail in our next verse, 1 Peter 3:7. So A, before you name anything of her under your authority, you must apply the weaker vessel principle. You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. So you're a believing husband, you're on doctrine, you have a wife that's positive. And she's trying to apply Bible doctrine in her life in regards to your person, have the proper attitude in regards to respect and obedience to your authority. And it's easy, if one lets your SCA get away with them, to take advantage of a situation like that, one who is subservient in that respect. And obviously, you've got to keep in mind the doctrine and the person that you have in front of you in this respect, under the weaker vessel principle, which we'll deal with in more detail when we get there. And obviously, in regards to giving out commands, etc., exercise authority over your wife, not to abuse it, is a demand reason, not placing too much on the woman beyond her, obviously, physical capabilities as well as emotional otherwise. So B, if you are insensitive to her niche and do not accord her the honor she is due, God will not hear your prayers. That is brought out in the final part of the verse, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So discord in the house, and the failure of the husband to line up the Bible doctrine and application to their wives can jam your prayer life up. See, further, if you abuse her, you will come under divine discipline. God sees these things whether people do or not. E, you are to be patient with her spiritual acclimation. Husbands, obviously, again, we're looking at both parties being under doctrine, trying to apply Bible doctrine, and understand that generally the husband will gap doctrine sometimes quicker if you put them on both at the same time on doctrine. General understanding, since that's why the wife is to go to the husband and ask questions, that's the way it should be. Colossians 3:19, to understand where they're at spiritually, all these things that are associated with this regard. Husbands, love your wives and don't be embittered against them. So you've got to be patient, not become frustrated. And he be an encouragement and example to her, obviously, both in edification of doctrine, in your speech, and your applications, in word and deed. So Roman numeral 9, summary then in regards to this doctrine. A, even as Abraham is the father, that is the pattern, the example, and thus all in terms of salvation adjustment, so royal ladies who make the maturity adjustment become Sarah's daughters. Part of the irony, if you will, in regards to the Abraham-Sarah relationship and their examples given to believers. And Abraham was indeed as spiritually the father of all believers because of his example of faith. Romans 4:11 again. They received the sign of circumcision, sealed the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. Phase one faith in regards to making salvation adjustment, that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, Gentile and Jew both. He's obviously father racially as well as spiritually to the Jews, but spiritually obviously to the Gentiles, that righteousness might be reckoned to them. 12, and the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision but also follow the steps of faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. And verse 16, for this reason is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all descendants, not only to those who are of the law, the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And then obviously 1 Peter 3:6 in regards to the ladies. B, Sarah's daughters are a very elite group. It's based on position, orientation, affirmation to Bible doctrine, and will have special recognition and privilege forever. God not in the company of Sarah for all eternity. C, the key to being so recognized is spiritual growth, eventuating in the implementation of the royal imperative to obey your husbands, including mental attitude recognition of his lordship. In Ephesians 5:22, Colossians 3:18, compare 1 Peter 3:6, and the orientation of submission wives to their husbands. So the ladies with hating husbands also are candidates for this distinction, provided they are obedient even if right man is unfair. Any other qualities distinguishing one of Sarah's daughters, that is, besides obedience to right man, include a gentle and quiet disposition, 1 Peter 3:4, and a high level of divine good production, which is brought out in 1 Timothy 2:10. So until a woman has these inner qualities, she is not properly dressed, that is, in the soul. She's not properly adorned to be in Sarah's company. He, coupled with the appropriate dress and grooming, these qualities all add up to a biblical decorum for the spiritually mature lady.